Parshas Mishpatim begins Ve'ela Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifnehem, and Chazal Darshin Lifnehem Velo Lifnei Akum. As we've discussed in this forum in the past, there's a prohibition against litigating in idolatrous or secular court. In the Hakdama to the Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak of Yitzchak Shmelkis on Choshe Mishpat, written by a son-in-law of his, the son-in-law notes in extolling the virtues of going to Beis Din and a horrible it is to go to Arkos, that one of the milos of going to Beis Din is what the Gemara tells us in Brachos and Davav, that if you have a yeshivas Beis Din, the Shechina is shora upon the dayanim, upon the yeshivas Beis Din, and how could one possibly entertain going to secular court and missing out of that opportunity to be connected to the hashras Shechina. But that notion of hashras Shechina being relevant to a yeshivas Beis Din is a part of the discussion that we're going to address this evening of whether a yeshivas Beis Din can be conducted via Zoom. So in the last year, since the world shut down, in the initial months of the pandemic, activities at the Beis Din were significantly curtailed. We didn't do any gittin for about 3 months from Purim into beginning of June or so. And Dinei Torah also, nothing was done in person. So we began at that time trying to push using video conferencing Zoom as a forum for Dinei Torah with limited success at the time. We had used Zoom on occasion under certain extenuating circumstances before that or other more primitive video conference technology, which didn't always work so well, like Skype and Google, whatever the Google equivalent was. But part of the problem we ran into was that at least the NITPA would say, I have no interest in coming to a Zoom hearing. Let's wait till we do it in person, which is a convenient stalling technique. And then over time, we incorporated into our standard binding arbitration agreement a clause that allows for the Beis Din to conduct hearings via video conference and Zoom. So what I'd like to discuss this evening is the halachic basis for conducting Beis Din hearings, yeshivas Beis Din, not in person, which breaks down into two sub-components. Number one, can you conduct a hearing in which the Beis Din may be seated together, but the parties aren't present in person, the parties are video conferencing in? And number two, can you have the Dayanim themselves video conferencing and not being together in the same room? So let's begin by addressing listening to presentations on the part of litigants via video conference where the parties are not present in front of Beis Din. So the Mechaber writes in Choshe Mishpat Simin Yud Gimel Seif Yud Gimel. Ein kofin es adam sheyitein tanosa b'chsab. You can't force one of the Balei Din to present his claims in writing. The Ein l'dayin l'kabel tanos b'chsab, and a dayin should not receive complaints in writing. Ela yishmu tanosei mipim, rather they should listen to the claims directly from the litigants. The yitzav l'sofer l'chosvam, and they should instruct the scribe to transcribe their claims. Where does this come from? This is based on a Tshuvas HaRivash, Simin Reish Tzadiches, She'altem. Shtei kitas bo l'din. There are two parties that came to a hearing. Ha'achas morsha. One of them was an attorney. One of them was authorized to represent one of the parties. Haba barsha misadr tanos b'chsav. And that attorney wanted to present his arguments in writing. And requested that the dayanim reach their decision based on the written submissions. The akasacheres mashiva v'meres she'ein ledayanim lekabel shem tainus b'chsav. The other party says, no, we only want the dayanim to accept in-person testimony and not written testimony. Tshuva. Kedin mashiva zo sakasa meres she'ein lekabel shem tainus b'chsav. The party that says, that insists on everything being presented orally is correct. Lefisha ein lehat why? Lefisha ein lehatriach es hanitba lakachas tofes mitainos hatoveya. We don't want to burden the defendant to have to deal with this written testimony. And to then respond in kind, which is going to lead to certain costs incurred by having to have their testimony transcribed. And also, it's appropriate that the dayanim should listen to the claims from the mouth of the parties. Shema mitoch devrayim yilmedu v'avinu mimehem toin be'emes. If they hear the claims directly, they'll have a better sense as to who's telling the truth. The lo sheyavo b'tanos misudaros v'pi acher. As opposed to if they receive written submissions from an attorney, so they're listening to an indirect representation. The attorney is going to embellish and not be factually accurate in order to enhance their case. Rather, they should listen to the claims directly from the mouths of the parties. And then tell the court scribe to transcribe everything as they heard it. So the Rivash has two reasons why a Bezin should not accept testimony submitted in writing. Number one, it creates an unfair burden on the other party. If one party is going to submit testimony in writing, then the other party is going to be disadvantaged in their ability to respond to it and may incur certain costs in putting their claims in writing as well. And number two, the dayanim are going to have a better chance of arriving at a truthful decision if they're able to listen to the claims directly from the parties rather than through written submissions. So that's the two reasons of the Rivash. What happens? What would you say if the parties both are in agreement? In the case of the Rivash, one party wanted to submit written claims and the other one objected. What would happen if both parties would acquiesce? So the first reason of the Rivash clearly does not apply, that it creates an unfair burden on one party. If both parties want to do it that way, then we're not worried about an unfair burden. What about the second reason, that the dayanim are in better position to reach a appropriate conclusion if they hear the claims directly? So that's debatable whether that reason would apply if the parties agree to submit their claims in writing. The halacha, the Rama writes, Neil, im shnei bali dinim rosim liton b'chsav, if the parties want to submit their claims in writing, harshis b'yadam, they have the ability to do so. And they can't retract what they submit in writing. The Gaon initially writes that the Rama is arguing on the Mechaber. The Mechaber says you can't force one party to submit claims in writing. And the Rama says if they agree, then that's fine. So first the Gaon says, is machlokas Mechaber Rama, meaning Mechaber says even if the parties agree, you can't submit claims in writing. And then the Gra says in the Likut, otherwise, he says, the Nisratsu, within in explaining the Rama, they both agree. The Ein Choshashin Shashena Yibada Tainas Malibo, and we're not worried, if both parties agree, we're not worried that one of the parties is going to create or present frivolous, untrue claims in writing. The Havi Kikabluhu, and that works through Kiblu Alayu. There are many elements of Beis Din protocol that could be waived with the acquiescence of both parties, just like you can accept a dayan who is otherwise unqualified. You can accept potentially the testimony of Adam who are otherwise unqualified. There are many procedural aspects of Beis Din that are subject to the acquiescence of both parties, even though the default would have been not to accept such a procedural detail. So here too, the Gaon says that if both parties agree to submit claims in writing, there's no, that's equivalent to Kiblu Elihu. That's a acceptable acceptance on their part. And we're not even worried that there's going to be a potential for fraud or misrepresentation. So the Gaon is saying that even the second reason of the Rivash is not a concern if both parties agree. And the way the Gaon presents it here in the Likud is that everyone agrees to this. The Mechaber will as well. He says, Masha Kasov, B'Shulchan Aruch, V'ein L'dayin L'kabel, Filu B'Ratzon, Hayne Miratzon Shelo, Shelo B'Ratzon Shelzah Shekinekto. And the Mechaber says that you shouldn't accept written testimony. That's only if one party disagrees. But if both parties are in agreement, then even the Mechaber would agree that written testimony is acceptable. And in the Birkas Eliyahu on the Be'er Hagra, he explains that there's a machlokas rishonim, which may be relevant here, as to whether kiblu alai, whether the fact that the Bali Din can accept situations that otherwise would be puzzle applies even where there's a concern of edus shaker. Can you even say kiblu alayu that they accept certain procedural details where that could, in theory, lead to a chashash of edus shaker? So maybe that's relevant here as well. Even if the Rivash's second reason is correct, that we're concerned if the parties aren't going to be there directly to make their presentations and only present things in writing, there's a concern of potential misrepresentation or shaker, so maybe kibbutz olai works even there as well. There is a third reason in Rishonim for why we would not readily accept written testimony, and that is of the Ritva in Makos Daf Vav Amud Beis. The Ritva is quoted by the Beis Yosef in Beda Kabayis in Simen Yud Zayin. And the Ritva there is commenting on the din that the Mishnah presents in Makos Vav Amud Beis, that a Sanhedrin or a Bezdin cannot hear testimony mipi ha-meturgaman. They can't hear testimony through a translator. Bezdin has to be able to understand the Aden that are testifying in their presence in their own vernacular. Why is this so? So the Ritva here quotes a position of the Rama and the Bala Iter that this is subsumed under the Xeris HaKosov of Mipihem below Mipi Ksavam, that you need to hear testimony directly from witnesses. You can't accept testimony that witnesses present in writing, Mipihem below Mipi Ksavam, and that applies not only to testimony in writing, but testimony through a meturgaman, testimony through a translator. The Dayanim need to hear the Edom directly. They can't accept written testimony, and they can't listen to testimony through an interpreter. And the Ritva quotes Cholkim on the Ramah that the Chisaron Amipi Umipi Ksavam is relevant. Sorry. So the Ritva quotes from the Ramah and the Bala Iter that this Chisaron Mipiem, the Lo Mipi Ksavam, applies not only to Edim, it doesn't only apply to witnesses, but applies to Bali Din as well, applies to the litigants, and the Bezdin needs to hear testimony directly from the litigants and can hear Mipi Ha Meturgaman. The Ritva himself quotes those that argue that the Chisaron Mipi Turgaman is only relevant for Edim, and it's not relevant for Bali Din. And the Gaon there points out in Siman Yud Zayin Se'if Vav that most Rishonim assume that way, that there is a difference between Edim and Bali Din. Mipiyim Elam Mipi Ksavim is only relevant for Edim, not for Bali Din. So it is true that the Mechaber quotes the Din of Mipi HaTorgaman not only in the context of Edim, but in the context of Bali Din as well. Siman Yud Zayin Se'if Vav, Lo Yeh Hadayin Shomei Mipi HaTorgaman. The Dayan can hear through a interpreter. Ima Yamakir B'Lashonim V'Shomei HaTanoseim. If he understands it directly, Avalim Eino Yodei B'Lashonim Kol Kach Shiyad Elahashir Lem Lo Diem Sakadin Mutter Lahamim Meturgaman. But under certain circumstances, if necessary, you could use a Meturgaman. And the Rama says, "Im toinim b'chsav, im echad rotsa litam v'lashan acher, v'asheni v'lashan acher, ein echad yachol lakov chaver." You can't force someone to speak in the same language if they prefer to speak in a different language. Says the Sma over there in Sifkata and Yudalid that the reason for the problem or why is there a problem listening to Mipi HaMeturgaman is because if you're going to hear directly from the parties in their language and not Aidei Meturgaman, Yoser Yachol Lehisbar Emes. It's easier to come to a accurate conclusion. So that's like the second reason of the Rivash that we saw above, that not a concern of Mipim Lom Mipik Savim, like the Shitas of the Ritva quotes, but we're concerned about coming into a situation where it's Yachol Lehisbar Emes. And the Rama writes that just as you can accept testimony that is submitted in writing with the acquiescence of both parties, the same is true for testimony mipi ha-meturgama. So what emerges from this is that lahalacha, according to the Rama, and according to the Likud and the Gaon, according to the Mechaber as well, the Balidin are allowed to present their arguments in writing as long as both parties are in agreement to that procedural matter. So if that is the case, so in as much as the parties that both agree can present their claims in writing, it would stand to follow that presenting their claims over a video conference is no worse than presenting their claims in writing, and in fact, probably better. That's what Rabbi Efrati quotes from Avil Yashiv in his Yisa Yosef Choshe Mishpat Simen Vav. The Rav Yasha paskind, if the parties agree to have a hearing via video conference, then the parties can appear via video hookup or even via a telephone hookup. This is quoted in the Sefer Seder Hadin in the name of Rav Yasha as well, Seder Hadin Perek Vav Ha'ara Nun Tes. And Rav Shmuel Eliezer Stern from Benebrak, from Avosnus Bezdin, writes this as well in volume 12 of Kovis Sharei Hara, article beginning on page 173. In the Sefer Seder Hadin, he points out that you do have to be careful in a situation where one party is appearing via video conference and the other party is appearing in person, if they agree to such a scenario, that you have to make sure that the general problem or practice that the Beis Din cannot have, the Dayanim can't have any ex parte communication with one party. They have to be sure that the party in person is not going to be in the room any longer than the video hookup is on. So you have to make sure that you only call the in-person party in once the video hookup is on, and to make sure that the party leaves the room at the same time that the video hookup is disconnected. Now, what kind of acquiescence do we need when it comes to these matters? If we need the consent of both parties to have a hearing where the parties are not present in person, what is the kiblu alayu? How do we affect their haskama? So in other areas of where kiblu alayu works, the Shach writes, for example, in Simen Kafei Sifkatan Yud Beis, Simen Kafei Sifkatan Yud Beis, that anytime you have kiblu alayu, you don't necessarily need a kinyan. You don't need a formal kinyan on the part of the parties. It's sufficient that they accept that they are appearing in front of this Beis Din with, let's say, a dayan yachid, where normally the default is that you have three dayanim, but if the parties agree to have a single dayan, even if he's not a mocha, that would be acceptable, or they accept dayanim that otherwise would be pasul or disqualified. So as long as the parties appear in that hearing, that's an implicit kibbul alai. The fact that they show up is sufficient to create that Kabbalah, that acquiescence. That is clear from the Rivash and Shuva Simen Reish Ayin Aleph, Rivash Simen Reish Ayin Aleph, who writes, Elishem Bo Lefana Me Etzam Ladun, they come in order to be done in front of the Beis Din, and that's a sufficient Kibbul Alayu. Or if you have a Kabbalah Bichsav, if you have a written agreement to adjudicate under such circumstances, with a, you sign a Shtar Beiru and you sign an arbitration agreement with a clause that allows for a hearing to be conducted under these circumstances, then that is a sufficient Kiblu Alayu for other matters of halacha and here as well. That's what Rav Yashiv quote is recommending by Rabbi Fati. If you're going to have such a hearing where the parties appear via video conference hookup, then that should be stipulated in the arbitration agreement that they agree to such a hearing. The second issue to be discussed, so if they don't agree, can Beis Din insist on having a hearing where the parties are not there in person? That is less clear. Rav Stern leaves that as a tzarachi and he's not sure, but that would require more thought as to whether one could make a compelling argument that a beis din could insist on having the parties not appear in person if there are extenuating circumstances that would necessitate having a non-in-person hearing. But generally speaking, we operate with the assumption that we require the acquiescence of the parties, some kind of a kibbutz line, in order to have a hearing where the parties are not there in person. Okay. The main question to address is whether the Beis Din needs to all be present in the same room, meaning even if the parties are video conferencing in or Zooming in, do the Dayanim need to be sitting next to each other, or can the Dayanim be in three remote locations as well? So in general, where there is a need for a formal Beis Din, where you need something that requires a Beis Din, the Beis Din means that the three parties are together in the same place at the same time. So, for example, the Tshuvas HaRashba HaMiuchasas LaRamban in Siman Sadi Aleph, in the context of Kiyum Shtaros, where you need a Beis Din to establish the validity of a shtar by verifying the signatures to the shtar. So he writes, Lefi Shetoa Mekaimim Vekimu Ashtar Ezeshel Bifneza. And the instance that he was asked about, the Mekaimim made a mistake and they weren't all present together to be Mekaim Ashtar. The Ein Shlosha Kriyin Beis Din Elam Ken Yoshvin Shlosha Gachad. Beis Din means that the three people are sitting together. Nimso Mekaimim Asher Shelo Kedin. So the people who were Mekaim the shtar did it improperly. They signed the document saying that there was Kiyum Shtar Asher Beis Din. It wasn't true. Each dayan was Mekayim it separately, independently. So there were a total of three dayanim who were Mekayim Mishtaris, but that's not called the Kiyum Bifnei Beis Din unless you have the three dayanim sitting together. And the Rivash writes something similar in Siman Reish Lamed Beis in the context of Bitul HaGet. The Gemara assumes in the beginning of the fourth parak of Gittin that in order for a get to be nullified, that needs to be done in the presence of Beis Din, either the nullification of a get or the nullification of a shaliach for the get. So the Rivash writes over there as well that Beis Din means that the Beis Din is sitting together. There, the Gemara says, according to one opinion, Amarayim, that all you need for this kind of a Beis Din is two people. But still, the two people have to be sitting together. And that Rivash is reflected in Shulchan Aruch, Aben Ezer, Simen Kuf Mem Aleph, Sif Samech. Yesh Omrim, De'elu, Shnayim, Shemavata, Lefneim, HaShaliach, Tzvichim Liyos Sad, Tzvichim Liyos Biachad. They have to be together. But if they're not together, that doesn't work. That's not called the Beis Din. And the Gon writes over there, Sukkot and Kuf, Kaf. Nikol Malkom came in the Karlu Beis Din, Karlu Beis Din, Bina Zeb of Neza. Even though it's only two people, according to Rav Nachman, that you can be Mavasa in front of two. But that still is a shame Beis Din. If it has a shame Beis Din, they have to be together. The Lo Shayach Lachshir was Eshel of Neza. You can't have a Beis Din where the Dayanim are not together. And we discussed this over the summer in the context of having a Taras Nedarim Ayyidei Zoom, where we quoted Rav Yashiv and other poskim of the last generation that just like a person could be a Matur Neder by sending the request through a Shaliach, you could also be Matur Neder by talking to the Beis Din over telephone or over video conference, but the Beis Din themselves need to be sitting together, three dayanim next to each other. Marsham Chelik Bey Simon Reish Mem Hei understands this based on a Yerushalmi, the beginning of Perak Shloshish Achlu, where the Yerushalmi compares the din of Zeman to the din of Beis Din. Just like a Zeman, you require the people participating in the Zeman to be proximate to each other, to be in the same room, so too a, or connected physically. So too a Beis Din, where you require a Beis Din, you need the three people to be, the three dayanim to be together in the same place. So what about a yeshivas Beis Din for Din Torah, for Choshen Mishpat Din Torah? So the Gemara says in Brachos on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, Amar Ravin Bar Rav Adam Rav Yitzchak Minayin Shekadosh Baruch Hu Matzi Beis HaKnesses, how do you know Kadosh Baruch Hu is to be found in Shol? Shenamar Lakin Nitzah Badas Kel. Skipping. Minayin L'shlosh Shiyoshim B'din Sheshkinei Mahem. Shenamar B'Kerev Lakin Mishpat. You have three dayanim sitting together, the Shekhinah is with them, based on B'Kerev Elokim Yishbot. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Yeridaya Chelek Gimel, Simen Kuf Mem Beis Os Beis. Yeridaya Chelek Gimel Simen Kuf Mem Beis Os Beis. Rav Moshe there was asked whether if a Bezdin sends out a Hazmana, summons to come to Bezdin, do the three Dayanim need to sign that and be together to sign the Hazmana? So Rav Moshe says no, but in that context, Rav Moshe says, what about a Yeshiva's Bezdin for a regular Din Torah? So first he says that if you look at the Gemara carefully, even though the Gemara says that if you have a Yeshiva's Bezdin, Shekhinah's among them, it's not because of the Mishpat Shabbat, it's not because of the Din Torah, it's because of the Talmud Torah involved in a Yeshiva's Bezdin. Because in the Hemshek of the Gemara says, Uminayim l'shnayim sheyoshim v'oskim b'Torah sheshchinei mahen. And then how do you know that even if one person is Yoshev v'oskim b'Torah sheshchinei mahav? The Gemara demonstrates that. So the whole context of the Gemara is the Shekhinah Shorem on Talmud Torah. So even when you have Yeshiva's Bezdin, the reason the Shekhinah Shorem is because of the Talmud Torah, not because of the Mishpat. And he says that's even more mefurish in the Mishnah Avos, where that's the entire context. Asar sheyoshim v'oskim b'Torah shekhinah shriya b'neiha. Minayin afilu chamisha. Minayin afilu shlosha. And of course, the same pasuk as the Gemara in Brachos, b'karev elokim yishbot. And this is all clearly in the context of Talmud Torah. So the Gemara there puts the same pasuk to tell you if you have three people learning together, the shekhinah is shorem. So according to that, Rav Moshe says it should come out that even if you have a dayin yachid, that you could have a dayin yachid mumcha, or even not a mumcha if it's kibbul ulai, if they agreed to go in front of a single dayin. So maybe the shekhinah is shorem there too. There's nothing special about three dayanim together to be the only conduit for hashras hashekhinah in the context of a din Torah. So if that's the case, then arguably, even if you have three dayanim that are not sitting together but are connected on video conference, so that's no worse than a dayin yachid, where the shekhinah would potentially be shorem on that. But then Rav Moshe says that there may be another aspect of Hashras Shekhinah on three Dayanim, and that is because of the Mishpat Shabbat as well. And then he says the question as to whether you'd have that Mishpat Dik Hashras Shekhinah on a Dayin Yachid would depend on how do we view a Din Torah that is heard by a Dayin Yachid. The Mishnah says in Avos, Perek Daled, Mishnah Ches, Al tihi dayin yachidi, she'ein dayin yachidi ela echad. A person should not be a dayin yachid because Kadosh Baruch Hu is the only one that is a dayin yachid. So Rav Moshe points out, this is machlokes rishonim. Is this an eitza tova or is this an absolute never do it? So he quotes that from Rashi, or Tosfos in Sanhedrin, hey and Rav Dibra Maskel Kugon, right, that it's an eitza tova because you may make a mistake. So why get into a situation where you're going to have to decide something on your own? It's not a good idea. You might make a mistake. But if you're confident you won't make a mistake and you don't make a mistake, then that's fine. So fundamentally, there's no chisaron in dayin yachid. It's just not a good idea. As opposed to Rashi on the Mishnah there, who from Rashi emerges that no, it's a chisaron in kvod shemayim, that the only dayin yachid is a kadosh baruch hu. So it's a lack of kvod shemayim that someone else should be as presumptuous as to follow that model of Kodesh Baruch Hu to be done a dayin yachidi. So Moshe says, according to Tosfos, that it's a recommendation, eitza tova, don't be dayin yachidi because you might make a mistake. But if a person was dayin yachidi, there still could be hashras hashekhinah. But according to Rashi, that is not just an eitza tova, but it's a lack of kvod shemayim, so it's lo yitachein, that where you're doing something that inhibits kvod shemayim, that at the same time, that's going to be a conduit for hashras hashekhinah. And then Rav Moshe says there's a second akuda, that the reason Bezdin should be sitting together is because that's going to lead to a more accurate psak. Mishum da'ayide shlosha biyachad nisbara hadin biyoser, kishakol echad shameh d'rechadero misvachin zemzer. Everyone's going to hear the other arguments, they'll discuss with each other, and you'll come to a more reasoned and accurate conclusion. So arguably, even that reason could still allow for a video-linked Yeshiva's Bezdin where the Dayanim still have ample opportunity to discuss with each other. Not talking about where they're in three different places and sending letters to each other, but they have the same vikuach over Zoom that they would have in person. So based on this, even with the Hashras Shekhinah matter, it's arguable that you could have Hashras Hashkina even if the three Dayan were not sitting next to each other. And if we're concerned about the Bira Emes, it's possible to have Bira Emes there as well. So it seems logical that just as Kiblu Alayu works for many other procedural aspects of Beis Din, Kiblu Alayu could work for having the Dayanim sitting together, not sitting together as well. So to say that the Dayanim can not sit together even without the acquiescence of the parties, that's a little bit more difficult to sustain. But Kiblu Alayu, if the parties are okay with it, then that seems reasonable. And that's been how many Batei Din have been operating in recent months, where it's been impractical or unsafe or not advisable to have regular in-person DNA Torah. So just as in many other elements of Beis Din process, Kiblu Alayu is effective, Kiblu Alayu would be effective here as well. Just you end up with an irony that for a Torah Sedarim, you need to have the Beis Din sitting together and Kiblu Alayu doesn't help, as opposed to Choshen Mishpat Din Torah, where Kiblu Alayu would allow for the Dayanim to sit together. So that's why our default has been in recent months that we have such a clause in our arbitration agreement to allow for video conference DNA Torah. If a party were to object and insist on having an in-person hearing, so we would sustain that objection and have an in-person hearing if it could be done done safely. But by and large, since that has become kind of the norm, we have found that the vast majority of parties are comfortable doing DNA Torah on Zoom, and that's been our practice and that of other Batei Din, not all Batei Din, but other Batei Din as well.
Travis.
But by Zorman, are there like, do people have to sign some kind of like, I don't know, there's like the vulnerability of recording somebody else's testimony when you're sitting at home with your computer playing, or that there'll be other people in the room. Is there some kind of like, I don't know, like they have to sign something that's, you know, of good faith or, you know, proper practice beyond what would normally happen in a private courtroom?
You're talking about for the Balei Din or for the Dayanim?
Oh, for the Balei Din, yeah, I guess. For the Balei Din.
You're worried that there's some potential breach of confidentiality by having a hearing on Zoom?
Yeah.
And it's not really any different than an in-person hearing. I mean, if you're worried that they're going to... If everything is recorded anyway, so we have a recording and we'll provide a recording to any party upon request.
Okay.
So if you worry that they're going to record it clandestinely, we have the recording too.
Right.
If you worry that someone's going to be whispering in their ear what to say, it's potentially possible, but...
All right. Well, you're saying that it hasn't been something that you know, it's not like a... You know, the FBI warning at the beginning of a video that says, you know, duplication, like no warning needs to be provided. It's just, it's not something that you've determined has been a...
No, I don't think so, because I think the risk of exposure is kind of limited.
Right. All right. That's just interesting. Interesting.
Thank you. Good Shabbos.
Okay. Good Shabbos.